If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and a reality check you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I have got a very exciting guest. In fact, she is a returning guest. Back in 2023, I interviewed Shelley Gowith as she returned from a conference in America, and she shared with us some hot off-the-press information about health and well-being from that conference. Well, today she's back, and we're back on a different topic. Since then, she's had her baby grow up a little bit, and she's got some hot off-the-press information about healthy babies. Shelley is a functional nutritionist for the past 10 years. She's a speaker, and now she's a mother. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you so much for having me, Nat. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, in true RCR style, we are going to dive in on a kind of controversial note, because one of the things we love at RCR is we love the fact that we encourage people to ask questions, even if they might get pushback. We encourage them to have conscious conversations, courageous conversations even. And the topic you've chosen today is something along the lines of breast is best, but is it really? Can you elaborate?
100% that you are correct. And it's turned into a very controversial conversation. So let me be clear. I do 100% think that breast is best in certain circumstances. And I, pre-having my darling son, Harvey, who's now 6 months old, did subscribe to the being told by society that breastfeeding was 100% the best way to go. And it was like the premium standard of care for your children. And so I, in my clinical experience, would always ask new mums or mums in general or clients, you know, were you breastfed as a child? Like, what was that like growing up? Never knowing and never reading and never seeing the science and the background on this in terms of, yes, breastfeeding is fantastic unless your baby can't digest what is called, I don't know how to pronounce them 100% correctly, but it's the acronyms HMOs, which is human milk oligosaccharides. I'm really bad with that word. It's a new word that's come into my vocabulary in the last 6 weeks. Since having Harvey's gut tested over in the States, I flew him over to the States to get this test done. Wow. And I was feeling quite smug as a nutritionist and a mum of a newborn son, thinking that I was doing amazing things and really pushing my body and pushing myself to make sure that he was 100% breastfed, because I had subscribed to breast is best because that's what I've been told. I was very shocked when I got the results from this lab stool test to say that it looked like my son was not a breastfed child. And I read that on the summary of the lab report, and I was like, I told you, like this, I was talking to the lab report, not even the person, like this was before I'd had my consult with the overseas practitioner. I was like, but I told you that my son is 100% breastfed, and that every questionnaire I entered said that I was breastfeeding my son. So I was mortified, horrified, and every other single word at the time that I was going through as a mom, going, what do you mean it looks like my child is not breastfed? Like, what is it showing up then? And what does this word, this human HMOs, mean? And how does this impact my son? And how does it impact his health going forward? And am I really that smug mom that can feel like that just because I'm breastfeeding, I'm protecting my son and his health for the rest of his life? Because clearly, clinically, and as a mom, I'm missing a huge piece. And I'm not hearing this being talked about in the literature, the research, or the data, or conversations in my antenatal groups, in Plunkett, in my mom's groups, in doctor's offices, around this whole breast is best, but not if your child can't digest these enzymes in the breast milk. There was none of those caveats in any of the groups that I'm a part of, in any of the medical system, the hospital system, the antenatal system, the holistic system in New Zealand. So I was absolutely dumbfounded and mortified and angry for all these mums that I'm watching, killing themselves in some cases to breastfeed their children. And now finding out that actually, unless your child, and it's so simple, the thing about natural health that I love, and the reason I love my job and have stayed in it for so long, despite all the things going on, is that often, and I'm an ex-accountant, so I love formulas, I love cheat sheets. There's always a cheat sheet. And so I got incredibly pissed off for these new mums and for myself included, not having this cheat sheet 10 months ago, year ago, to go, actually, it's super easy to change the breastfeeding conversation, but we need to stop the friction between breast is best and formula is terrible and actually go, okay, well, what's the bigger picture behind this? And let's actually take the big picture approach and go, yeah, breastfeeding's great. If, and I'll tell you the X, Y, and Z, if these things are being met, then your child, you're setting your child up. But I know anecdotally from working with clients for almost 10 years, from the amount of mothers groups, and I've thrown myself into parent life at the moment, and with my own experience and clinical experience, I was never taught this. I've never learned this until now. And so I'm like, so we're putting a lot of pressure on society and women, but we're not giving them the full picture and all the information to make sure that breast milk is best for their child if they choose to breastfeed.
That's exactly right. And there's so much that comes with motherhood. There's that, you know, who am I, the identity situation, sometimes a drop in confidence, not to mention all of the pressure and expectation around baby and breastfeeding and all that. So there's so much guilt and shame potential. And I love the fact that we're actually changing the conversation and encouraging people to know about the other part of the conversation that until now, it hasn't even been brought in. So let's start off with, are there any things that listening moms and dads can look for in their child to maybe go, oh my goodness, maybe my child is one that cannot tolerate the breast milk. And now the wife can suddenly shoulder drop moment, you know, oh my gosh, it's not me. Oh my goodness, it might be a combination maybe of something with the mother and something with the baby's gut health or whatever. So what can we look for? What are the signs, if that's the right word?
Well, it's a great word, Nat. And this is almost even worse, was that Harvey, once again, smug mum, smug practitioner, smug all the rest of it, because, you know, moms love to be a little bit smug with things, as my experience, is that Harvey wasn't presenting any symptoms. So he didn't have eczema. He didn't have rashes. He's not burping. He's pooing every single day. He doesn't have reflux. He's feeding well. He's putting on weight. So those are the things that normally are alarm bells. So if there's any of those symptoms happening, often, and this is my experience clinically and just anecdotally in the groups that I'm in currently, mums go looking for answers for those reasons, right? The reason I was invested in doing this gut test was Harvey was a C-section child. So I was already aware, and yes, the judgment started well before Harvey was even born, because here I am, a natural health practitioner, and I'm having a C-section, like how dare I, basically. So I was aware, but that's a whole nother conversation anyway about that. But I was aware that he was a C-section child. So I thought to myself, great, C-section child, I'm going to help him with his gut bacteria post-birth. I've got a plan, and I truly had a plan, you know, holding him straight after birth, all the rest of it, ticked all those boxes, started upping my probiotics, eating all my fermented foods. Like, I was like all over that. So, and then I was like, look, I was basically just doing the stool test to confirm, once again, give myself a pat on the back to say, mum, you've done a great job, was really what I was looking for when I went to America to do this test. I was just confirming that everything I'd done post C-section was setting my son up for the best gut health. So you look for symptoms, absolutely, but I'll make it even easier for you. If you've had a C-section, we already know that your child does not have great range of gut bacteria. So they already won't be absorbing your breast milk properly, because they're not going to have those enzymes to be able to break down the food properly. So if I'd been thinking about it and I had a whole different, like my lead up to giving birth and the fight with the medical system took a lot of my energy and a lot of attention. But what I would have done in hindsight is at the 6-month mark, retested my gut to see exactly what was happening with my gut health. And I would have tested Harvey probably within the first 2 weeks with his gut health to see exactly what was going on. Because if you don't have certain strands of bacteria, if the baby doesn't have certain strands of good gut bacteria, they are not going to be able to digest your breast milk. So regardless of symptoms, it comes down to what is mum's gut bacteria? What is she passing on to the baby? And once again, no pressure on the mum. This isn't judgment. This is like, let's get educated. Let's get prepared. Let's have a whole nother conversation about this before baby is born. Then if the baby is born by C-section, the other thing that I think is very fascinating, because obviously we've got the natural birth versus C-section fight that goes on as well, another area of divide, and we clash heads with that one. The reality, which also caught me off guard in this stool report for Harvey, is if there's any chemicals used in the child's birth, that wipes out a lot of their gut bacteria, regardless if it's a home birth. If you're using Handy Andy and Jif at home, simple, and Nat and I, you know, I know that you're an advocate of this and we talk about this all the time. So if you have chemicals in your household around the time of the pregnancy, you are also, we are all, myself included, because I was born in a hospital. I mean, my Harvey was born in a hospital. We are already wiping out a lot of their gut bacteria. And that's a whole nother story that I never knew about until I was reading this report as well. So hospital births in general, whether they're C-section or whether they're just, you know, a run-of-the-mill hospital birth, you've got chemicals in the hospital. So you're picking up, your baby in their gut is picking up all of those chemicals already, and it's already damaging the gut bacteria. Now, once again, I'm not telling anybody this so they feel judgment. I'm telling us all so that we all have awareness and we start to have different conversations and we start to do different things for our little humans. Because my experience with all mums is they want the best for their children. Like, they are flogging themselves during these first 6 months, first year, to set their children up. And it's like, but if we're not having these honest conversations to start with and we get stuck in the trap of it was a C-section or it was a natural birth, the reality is if it's a hospital birth in general, we can say without any symptom, like you asked for the signs and symptoms, if your child's born in hospital, their bacteria is already damaged or not as great as it could be. It's not where we want it to be to now be able to let them digest the food properly, digest the breast milk properly. And the bacteria, how much good, friendly gut bacteria your baby's got is directly related to how well they're going to be able to digest your breast milk. So if there's not a diverse community of good gut bacteria, then they're not going to be able to digest your breast milk properly. It doesn't mean you're not doing amazing things in terms of connection and secure attachment therapy and all the psychological benefits. Like, there's like amazing other benefits. But if we're talking purely from a gut health, digestion, nutrition point of view, setting your child up for the best start to solids, poo health, all the good things that I love with my adult clients, then they're not being set up very well unless we start to have these conversations with no judgment, no in-house fighting between the different worlds, but we just go, here's the reality. Now, what? How are we going to be proactive? And what do we need? What do mums need to support baby to thrive from a very young age? And that's what I'm not seeing in all the groups and all the support in the medical world and all the worlds that we're a part of, myself included, as a practitioner before having Harvey. So I was a part of the problem.
So more conversations, and let's segue there. What are some things that women can do, people, families, because obviously the dads play a part here too, meaning they don't want to see their wife or their partner thrashing themselves just to breastfeed, just so that they can give their child the best whatever, when really it's actually not working out so well. What can they do to support their child's gut health and their own on the process, pregnancy through to birth?
This thing, Nat, is it's super simple, super easy, and super affordable. It's literally our pantries become our medical cabinets. And so in this case, with the HMOs, like the digestion, the enzymes for the breast milk, it's actually just spices. And this is what I've written. I'm so passionate about this, that in my newsletter and on the website that anyone can read, you've all got access to this for free. We're not gating the content here in terms of you have to pay for it. it's like 6 or 7 different spices that mum needs to start eating in her diet that dad can be preparing. You know, believe it or not, it's so funny. It's as simple as you with or without the caffeine, depending on the mum. But chai, making a homemade chai latte at home, it's got the cinnamon, it's got the cardamom, it's got a lot of the spices that the baby needs to be able to digest these HMOs. So now, like, I'm cooking, and all the recipes that we're putting out on the blog and on Instagram for people has all got spices in them. And from my 10 years of clinical experience and reading hour after hour of food diaries, when I would read while clients were eating healthy in inverted commas, I went back and I started looking through 10 years worth of data of my clinical data. I'm not seeing a lot of spices. I'm not seeing a lot of Indian food. I'm not seeing a lot of cuisine in terms of vegetables being cooked. I found it hard enough to get clients to have fermented vegetables, but I'm not seeing spices and curries in the diets of clients. So for mums, it doesn't need to be spicy food. You know, we don't need to have lots of chili. But it's a lot of these spices that are in our pantries are going to help you for your baby digest, and you're going to change their gut bacteria. You can have things like unlimited guacamole because garlic is a game changer for gut health and gut bacteria. So putting garlic into things, drinking it, like if your husband wants to bring you cinnamon stick tea or cacao with cinnamon in it, whatever your favorite herbs and spices are, drinking wise, you can drink it, you can do shots of it, you can add it to your fermented vegetables, you can add it to your salad dressings, you can make curries, you can have it in your porridge. Like, there are so many different ways and fairly free. Plus, it's flavorsome, it's tasty. So A, it's like mum and dad doing it before baby's born. And then as we start to look at introducing solids while they're still being breastfed at the same time, it's adding a lot of these spices into baby's first food too, when you start to mash that up. And that is not what you're going to find when you pre-buy your baby food, and no judgment there. But the reality is we need to start making these foods at home with these spices.
I love that. I mean, even me, you know, I was the eco geek mom, you know, before it was cool with the washable nappies and all that. And I remember making this prune juice thing, and I'd freeze the prunes into like an ice cube tray, but I never would have thought of spices. I was like, oh, you know, just really plain, really, you know, they're just starting off with the broccoli and whatever. So a lot of parents would never have heard of putting spices in baby's food.
Nope. And the thing is, I started doing it with hubby. He loves it. Like, eats, like, demolishes the food. Like, absolutely. And, like, so now you've got your simple vegetables. And that, like, different budgets, right? Like, your food doesn't even need, you don't even need to be, the thing I love about cooking with spices is you don't even need to be a good cook. You don't even need to be creative. Like, this week's recipe is literally potato, kumara, carrots with these spices for the parents. Mash it up. The adults can have it as their side dish, and the baby can have it mashed up or turned into soup, like super easy. Poof, off you go. You're done. And baby loves it. Baby learns to develop their palate. They learn to like eat and try different foods. But more importantly, now with me eating it, with Harvey eating it, he's going to be able to start to digest the breast milk. He's going to get the benefits from my love that goes into pumping and feeding him the many hours that goes into producing this breast milk every single day.
Okay. I love what I'm loving about this is it sounds simple, and it's like all is not lost. So it's like, if you're thinking, well, I really struggled, the baby wasn't thriving with the breastfeeding, we'll add some spices. I was that mom that people would come up to me after I'd been breastfeeding for a year and they'd say, are you okay? Like, I know this is annoying for some listeners. I was so thin. And the people would be like, are you okay? Like, they thought I was not healthy because I was so depleted from trying to feed my baby. So yeah, the spices, it's a game changer.
And that, like, it's up to you. Like, you know, my hat goes off to you for being so depleted for trying to feed your baby, right? Like, and this is what I'm seeing with moms. Like, this is what I mean in terms of this is no judgment. Moms are coming at this, and this is what breaks my heart as a mom and as a practitioner. Because this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing mums that love their babies, want their babies to thrive, husbands that love their wives as well. And the husbands are looking on going, my wife is killing herself literally to keep feeding this child. Like, they're a part of this too. And they want the best for the child. Like, we're all on the page together. We want the next generation, and anyone listening, want the grandma or whoever it is, we want the next generation to thrive. And I'm like, but we are so caught up in breast is best or formula is bad, we're missing this bigger picture where the child's not necessarily thriving anyway. You know, like, I could have breastfed and killed myself for the next year. And like I say, pat myself on the back and said, I've set Harvey up to thrive, and being shocked when his immune system was terrible, when in 5 years' time he was catching colds and all the other things. And, you know, I might have done a gut report then and been shocked that he had such terrible bacteria. Like, I genuinely was shocked.
Okay, quick question for someone that's listening. They don't want to go to America to get the fancy test. What can we do here? What is available to empower parents to get the knowledge if they, I mean, they don't really need to do the test. Maybe they can just start adding spices. What's their next step?
You don't even need to do the test. Like, you know, if you're not, I'm an ex-accountant, so I love data. I love numbers, let's be honest. But if you're not that way inclined, which is 90% of my clients, they don't do any of these functional tests that I offer. And I'm like, oh, all that knowledge. And I'm just teasing. You just need to make sure that you are eating the 6 spices a day. That just go to my website and read all about it. Eating fermented foods, the best thing to be doing. People want to, and I polled everyone because I love data. And so we also have this misbelief that when it comes to probiotics and antibiotics, mums only want to take probiotics and give their children probiotics if the baby's had antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I've been preaching for the past 10 years since gut health became trendy that everyone, children, mums, grandmas, everyone needs to be eating something dietary for their gut health every single day, non-negotiable. Regardless of sickness, regardless of antibiotics, regardless of health, it's just key for good health in today's world. So without even worrying, because the other thing about taking a probiotic, and believe me, I take probiotics at times too, it's only got the strands that are written on the bottle. And I've recently gone to where I told people and where they're buying their probiotics from. And the average, most of people are buying from the supermarket. So I've done these reels on Instagram to say, hey, look, here's 2 different products. One has amazing amounts of bacteria and the other one has a very small amount. So how do you even know as the consumer, what are you basing this on? Are you just pulling it off the counter? Because if you are, basically don't waste your money. It's $10 or it's $5 to make it yourself at home, and so easy. And, you know, time versus money. So I'm not going to put the pressure on anybody. You can still buy the fermented foods. But it's very much like, if you want to do it yourself, go for food rather than products. If you want to work with a practitioner, then yes, invest your money because you've got somebody else telling you exactly what to buy and making sure that it's really good. But if you don't have the money, that's fine. And, or if you can't or whatever, you don't have access to a practitioner. Diet is key when it comes to gut health. Spices, getting in the fermented foods or like coconut kefir water, those types of things if you prefer in the drinks form. And then having a range of vegetables in general for mum is going to be like the colors of the rainbow. You know, we've heard that to death as well. But once again, 10 years of reading clients' food journals, and you know, my clients would tell me that they were really healthy, I'd be lucky to see 2 cups of vegetables in their diet a day. So, you know, we've got to up that for the adults, for the mums and the dads together to have great gut health pre-baby, preconception, while mum's pregnant and postpartum, and let our children thrive with this going forward as well. And that literally all comes from our gardens or from our supermarket trolley.
So much to think about, everybody. We've squeezed this interview in. What I'd love to do, Shelley, we are short for time, but I would love to invite people to write in with any reflections or questions. I'm going to bring Shelley back on maybe next week. We'll see how we go with the schedule, maybe a week after, to literally answer your questions on the call. And then we'll probably dive into another topic. I know you love talking about water, and there's a whole bunch of other things you love talking about. So 2057 on the text to send us a question or a reflection. And if you prefer to email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Where can they find these recipes, Shelley? Where can they follow you on Instagram to see your videos about probiotics?
So Shelley Garwith, FN for Instagram. www.shellygarth.com for the website and the blog. And then this Sunday, I'm doing a masterclass on all things for mums to thrive postpartum, because it just breaks my heart that mums aren't living their best lives during this time. Like, you know, we most of us, my clinical experience is, women have wanted a child for so long, have invested so much of their heart, their time, their money, their everything into having their little mini. And then once mini comes, they're like, where's the guidebook? Like, I'm struggling, I'm sleep deprived, I'm all of these things. So it's like, what can we be doing? Simple tools. Like, I'm all about the simple. We don't have time for elaborate things. Like, it's what can you do for free at home to maximize your health so you can show up best for your mini.
Amazing. And I imagine they can find out about that on your website.
Under the programs, masterclasses, right there.
Okay. So I'm going to spell it S-H-E-L-L. Can you spell your name? Is it E-Y?
E-Y. And then GAWITH.com.
Got it. Amazing. All right, everyone, there you go. You can learn more about that. But the main takeaway from today is, did you know about the spices for the gut health? I know a lot of us didn't take the pressure off with this breastfeeding thing. I mean, do it if you can, but if it's not working, like, what do you need to change? If you just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. All right, Shelley, any final words before we wrap things up, and we'll bring you back in about a week or two?
No, but thank you so much for having me, Nat. And every mama out there, you're doing so well.
And the dads are too.
Yes, sorry. The dads are too.
All right. Thanks so much, Shelley. That is Shelley Gowith. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.